want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!
I'm Janitara Begum, and I work in Operation Unite, and you're tuned to 90.7 FM WGXC. ACRA.
La despensa de alimentos de Catskill está localizada en la parroquia de la Iglesia de St. Luke en Catskill, en la calle William, número 50. La despensa está abierta todos los viernes de la 1 hasta las 4 de la tarde. La comida sana es un derecho. Para más información, bienvenidos a todos a venir, llamar por teléfono a 551-299-2456, mirar la página web catskillfoodpantry.org o conectar con nosotros en Facebook en Catskill Food Pantry.
The views expressed by on-air volunteer hosts do not reflect the views of Wavefarm or WGXC. WGXC is nonpartisan and does not endorse or support political candidates. To participate in WGXC's on-air dialogue, dial 518-622-2598 to either call in live to the studio or record a 3-minute message for broadcast expressing your point of view, or send an email to info@wgxc.org.
WGXC underwriting support is provided in part by Bernsey's Multimedia Services, providing the Hudson Valley with a variety of video production services, including help to keep those wedding memories fresh. For more information, visit BernseyMedia.com or call them at 518-860-2751 or email BernseyMMS@gmail.com, BURNSYMMS@gmail.com.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Marcus DeGrazia Acupuncture in Austerlitz, New York. WGXC local business supporters help us continue to be a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement. Thank you, Marcus DeGrazia Acupuncture.
Welcome to Forgotten Geek on WGXC 90.7 FM, ACRA, Catskill, Hudson. Corey McCaslin here with a show heavier on the geek side as we get a set memorializing Star Trek Discovery and the return from near death of Star Trek Prodigy, and a second half wrapping up the first new season in a bold new era of Doctor Who. We'll be starting off in the 80s, though, starting with a live cover of Betty Davis Eyes by Brandon Flowers.
Yeah. What you doing? fireman's blind, a conductor's lame, a Cincinnati jacket and a sad look dame, hanging out the window with a bottle full of rain. Clap hands, clap hands, clap hands, clap hands. Zero, thunder, no. Some bitches never coming back in no more. The moon in the window and the bird on the pole. We can always find a million at a shovel or a coal. Clap hands.
Tying back into last installment's hand clapping song history lesson, that was Tom Waits with Clap Hands. For that was Der Da 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 by Mashup Pioneers Pink Project, combining Trio and After the Fire. The set began with Brandon Flowers' live cover of Betty Davis Eyes. Having just wrapped up my viewing of Discovery's final season, I'm even more disappointed it didn't get the standard 7 seasons. Though given Lower Decks cancellation, maybe it's standard 5 now. Looking back at the show from the beginning, first season is very rough around the edges, particularly those first 4 episodes, but nowhere near as abysmal as some painted. The turnaround started in the back half of the first season. All hell Empress Yo, I mean Giorgio. Second season's first few episodes have issues that make you understand why the showrunners were sacked and Akiva Goldsman booted upstairs, but it's still a major improvement. If I were to recommend jumping ahead, I'd say start there, if just to see the pretty strange new worlds Pike, Spock, and Una. Then a rapid climb in quality over the third season thanks to the premise fix, wonky conclusion to that arc aside, and seasons 4 and 5 being respectively capital G good and great Trek mean it is a hill I'll die on when I say go back and give it a chance. Especially as this last season is proof I was right to some skeptics I know that the TNG Progenitor episode has some good ideas to follow up on. On to the set taking us to the bottom of the hour, we'll start off with Captain Michael Burnham talking to one of said progenitors before we get Erwin Van Huen's cover of the theme song.
You are only the second being to make it to me. The other was Dr. Derek's. A Betazoid, I believe. She believed that civilization wasn't ready for this technology yet. I agreed to wait if she would build a path to better prepare the next visitor for the responsibility. That visitor is you. You will become its steward.
No single being should control this kind of power.
Dr. Derrickson and I discussed the path. And you have traveled it. You've learned its lessons. And you've faced your darkest sides.
Yes, and I'm far from perfect. I'm afraid. Lost sometimes.
Every sentient being, myself included, has all of those things. Yet some strive to be the best of themselves. I see that in you.
It's not just about me. Right now, the battle is waging out there. My crew is risking their lives to protect this portal. To protect us, to protect this technology. How can any one of us know the right way to use it? To bring peace and not more conflict?
That's a question only a steward can answer. You must ask yourself, what is most meaningful to you? There are, of course, many possible answers. Some find meaning in the advancement of science. Some in devotion to duty. Some through connection and love. Others in the beauty of the unknowable. Some in family and community.
Forgotten Geek on WGXC continues with a set commemorating the passing and return of two respectively overhated and underrated Star Trek series. Starting off with Irwin Van Heuwen's version of the Star Trek Discovery theme, followed by Nami Melamed's Starfleet Suits You Well from the first season score of Star Trek Prodigy, capping off with VNV Nation's Wonders. I'll soon be starting my watch of Prodigy's second season. Grudging thank you to Netflix for saving it from Paramount Plus / Nickelodeon short-sightedness. And urge those out there who haven't watched it to let go of the animation age ghetto. It's great Trek, and the animation is actually also pretty gorgeous. The second season is hopefully not the end, as the producer said even before it dropped on Netflix that they were already expressing interest in continuing on in some way, even if just a TV movie form. On to the subject for the entire second half of this installment, the first Shurigatwa season of Doctor Who, episode-by-episode capsule commentary. Christmas special Church on Ruby Road was a really good proper start for the era. Gatwa immediately endearing himself to me with his full-of-life performance, and a good demonstration of the Doctor overcoming the disadvantages he faces with his Time Lord super science going up against other dimensional god-level beings who don't play by the laws of space and time. Space Babies I liked, but I won't die on a hill for it, not just because I'm gun-shy after finally retreating from the defense of love and monsters. Still found it fun, and I will defend the strategic use of something I usually don't defend, toilet humor. It's there in the title, even genetically enhanced babies are going to still be snotty poop monsters. And it all plays into the actual plot, so I feel that's further justification. There's also a great gag / explanation for why the butterfly effect doesn't factor into the Doctor's travels. The Devil's Cord, I'll get back to you on that when I do my pre-Xmas or Season 2 rewatch. Much more uneven, but worth it for the scene where the Doctor finally talks about what may or may not have happened to his granddaughter Susan, which is an ongoing concern now. Boom was a good return to form for Moffat, and good series debut for Virata Sethu before she returns as a different character and new addition to the TARDIS next season because timey-wimey. For its premiere, Russell T. Davis had been touting 73 Yards as Bessie's written, and my initial reaction was not to tell you what you should think of your own writing, Mr. Davis, but while it's a pretty good twist on Dr. Light and time loop plots, it's still no Midnight. Then as I thought on it afterwards and picked up on some things I hadn't considered, I decided it's a damn good twist on Dr. Light and time loop plots, and Millie Gibson's best performance this season. And now comes Dot and Bubble. Damn, and I mean that in a good way. Much as I don't want to oversell it, I also don't want to spoil it. It might look like a fun but twisted Doctor Companion Light episode to decompress before we get to some weightier episodes and developments, but it's actually the best thing since Midnight. Heck, if there's an episode I recommend skipping ahead to test the waters, this is it. Enter Rogue. Not the X-Men's badass Southern Belle or one of my household kitties, but Jonathan Groff making an excellent debut as an intergalactic bounty hunter who quickly also captures the Doctor's hearts while they track down shapeshifters in a Bridgerton-esque setting. Now for the big blockbuster season finale, The Legend of Ruby Road / Empire of Death. A good, and I will argue, especially in the case of paying off the titular companion's mystery, satisfying and surprising conclusion. My set will spoil the big bad, but I didn't see them coming despite the direct callback and apparently some others catching it. One of the many good things about not engaging with online fandom means I'm not being spoiled. I also think the CGI reimagining of this villain is well done. Scrubbing back through the episodes, I still got goosebumps at some scenes. As for UNIT, bring on the war between the land and the sea. The first spinoff mini is officially in pre-production, still isn't confirmed as UNIT, but probably is, and rumor has it the ever underrated Martha Jones is coming back. Also bring on more Miss Flood, who left me screaming, "Who are you?" at the end. I already have theories, but we don't have all day. So TLDR, I have and hopefully never will stop loving Doctor Who, but now I'm back in love with it. Returning to the music and hopefully legible sound bites, here's a Silurian Doctor theme by Hardwire, inspired by a classic piece of fan art by Paul Hanley.
are you?
I'm the doctor. You don't have to stand over there. Come and have a look. It's called the TARDIS.
Ooh. Nice. Well, hold on. I can't call you doctor. Look, I want to know your name.
Yeah, that's tricky. Because I was adopted and the planet that took me in, they were kind of posh. They used titles like the doctor or the bishop or the Rani or the conquistador. Say doctor for 1,000 years and it becomes my name. My world is called Gallifrey.
Gallifrey? Mm. And where's that?
Gone! Ruby, it's gone. It's gone. They died. It was a genocide and they died. So the one that was adopted was the only one left? I am the last of the Time Lords. And I am so, so glad to be alive. This thing flies.
We'll be right back. again, my old friend.
Don't you dare.
Doctor, what is that thing?
Sutak. The Death of Ages. The Typhonian Beast. The greatest monster I have ever fought.
A long time ago, in the England of 1911, Sutek had been bound and imprisoned for all eternity. But he rose again, and I defeated him. I cast you into the time vortex. I sent you forward to your own death.
Instead, I found a home. I clung to your infernal machine, and for so many years, I hid. I have traveled with you for all this time, riding the spine of your ship, staring into eternity, and evolving into my true godhood. Now I know every beat of the heart of your time machine, and I can bend it to my will. It will stand as my altar, the temple of my empire of death. Never yours again, Doctor. Never. Every living thing is an abomination. I am come to release them into blessed death, and I find that good.
Crash to dive upon the fire of death.
We fought a monster. And now, I must become a monster.
The story of the church on Ruby Road comes to an end, with a very happy ending for little Ruby someday. Life goes on, doesn't it? Ruthlessly. And what happens, you might wonder? Oh, what happens to that mysterious traveler in time and space known as the Doctor? I'm sorry to say his story ends in absolute terror. Night, night.
Cause I'm counting on age. Now I couldn't be there. Now you shouldn't be scared. I'm good at repairs and I'm under each snare.
Detachable.
Bet you didn't think so, I commanded you. Panoramic view. Look, I made it all manageable. Pick and choose, sit and loose. Show you different clues. Cheeks and twos. Do you think it's really kicking juice? Speak to you. Getting down in a picture too. Like you lit the fuse. You think it's fictional. Mystical. Maybe spiritual. Hero who appears in you to play your new endure. Too crazy. Life lessons. What's the definition? To you because I put you on the high shit.
You like that?
Guns for your righteous. With one touch of psychic among the possessed. You and run.
Quite happy. I'm feeling glad I got sunshine. In a bag I'm useless. But not for long. The future is coming on. Quite happy. I'm feeling glad I got sunshine. In a bag I'm useless. But not for long. The future is coming on. It's coming on.
Without it, you make it. Allow me to make this childlike in nature.
Rhythm.
You have it or you don't. That's a fallacy. I'm in them. Every spiral tree. Every child of peace. Every currency. You see with your eyes. I see destruction and demise. Corruption in disguise. From this ending of the prize. Now I suck into your lies. Who rocks so not as muscle. But percussion he provides. For me as a guide. You can see me now. Cause you don't see with your eyes. You perceive with your mind. That's the inner. So I'ma stick around with Ross and be a mentor. But a few rounds of circle when I remember where the thought is. I brought all this so you can survive when the law is lawless. The feeling sensations that you thought was dead. No squealing, remember
that it's all in your head. Quite happy. I'm feeling glad I got sunshine. In a bag I'm useless. But not for long. The future is coming on. Quite happy. I'm feeling glad I got sunshine.
My latest overindulgence, peppered with sound bites, began with Hardwire's A Silurian Doctor theme, followed by the unofficial remix of Peter Schilling's classic The Different Story, Until You Call in the Dark by Danzig, Liebox God is God, and ended with Leo Morricioli's cover of Clint Eastwood. Thanks for listening. I'll be back in 2 weeks with One Hitters 1983 Volume 2. Stay safe as we go off the original version of an 80s movie classic covered up by everyone's favorite sexy sax man. Here's The Call with I Still Believe. Great design.
Through the lies, through the waves.